When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Okay, now we're into the latter half. We're halfway through our awards.
So I hope you've enjoyed this.
Hope you've enjoyed this so far.
So far, yeah.
We're getting to the real juice of it now.
Yeah.
Okay, so moving on. The next award is Best Remake or Reboot.
Mm.
So the nominees are Spider-Man, the new Spider-Man?
I think it's the new animated series.
Spider-Man, the new animated series. So this is the MTV CG one.
Mm-hmm.
Rugrats.
Yeah. 2021.
And He-Man and the Masters of the Universe.
Mm.
2021.
Yeah.
All CG. Interesting.
Yeah, actually. Yeah, I didn't even think of that.
Yeah. So, okay. The oldest is first, Spider-Man.
Mm.
So this was released around the time that the movies came out.
Yeah.
But it had a really interesting feel to it, didn't it?
Yeah, it was very different. Like, Spider-Man is a lot cooler, isn't he, Peter Parker, in this?
Yeah.
And it feels a lot more like you're just kind of hanging out with him and his pals at college more than, you know, in the Spider-Man animated series, you're just kind of like fretting over today's task. And then like a villain pops up and you're like, oh, well, I guess that's it now. Whereas this was like, had a much different vibe, I'd say, overall.
Yeah. Yeah, it really sort of reimagined the whole thing in a more modern way at the time.
Mm.
And I mean, it's probably dated a bit now, but the CG at the time, I just remember it looking really cool.
Yeah, yeah.
It wasn't really just bog standard, was it?
No. No, it's definitely taken leaps CG wise, I think.
Yeah. So that was an interesting one. Rugrats.
Mm.
This is essentially a reboot that's done in every way you would want a reboot to be done.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't stray from the you know, the source material, really, does it?
No. Like they've taken the exact same thing, same voices even, same designs. It is CG. That's the only real visual difference from it.
Yeah.
But it puts it in the modern world, doesn't it? Like, it brings it from the 90s to the, you know, teenies/20s.
Yeah. Yeah, I think this one was the fact that they did the CG was, I think, obviously people were kind of worried about that. But they made efforts to make sure that it looked very much like the original one as well, didn't they? You know, it's got a really unique kind of style about it. And I think, you know, especially when we did go back and watch the original Rugrats, there are things that need updating. So it made sense for them to make that leap and bring it into the modern day, because things really have changed since the 90s.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a good effort. And I think the characters and everything felt the same, didn't they? Like, it felt genuine. So.
And that's it. It gave you just enough to qualify it as a reboot.
Yeah.
whilst also giving you plenty of what you loved about it. And the art style is such a big thing in Rugrats that, you know, it has to stay the same in a way.
Yeah.
But it was really, it didn't look cheap or anything. It looked really nice, and it just was really well done, I thought.
Yeah.
And then we've got the new He-Man, which is sort of completely different in that it's an entirely new sort of way of doing He-Man.
Yeah.
This is like the Fortnite version of He-Man.
Yeah, it was actually.
So the animation is completely different. The art style is completely different. Even the story,
yeah,
is completely different. But it's made completely for, you know, today's younger audience.
Yeah, yeah, a much different one. In a time when obviously there's quite a few He-Man remakes as we've tackled over the years, but this one being the one that definitely, you know, it stands out the most of like, wow, they really, you know, they really wanted to change things up on this.
Yeah.
But I remember it looking really nice and feeling really fresh, you know, like you knew it was He-Man, but at the same time it was like, yeah, like it felt like a new start in a way, which is, I guess that's what they want really, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it. They kept a lot of original elements that you'd remember whilst spinning everything around. And I think it's kind of one of those shows that it was weird anyway.
Yeah.
So like when they change it all, it's kind of like, yeah, okay. Like it's a cool new version. That's what I'm after.
Yeah. I mean, we've definitely got our own particular issues with He-Man, maybe particular characters that we could do without. So for them to go in and be like, let's move things around, I don't think that was necessarily a bad thing personally.
No. Okay. Well, Let's do it. Like what are we thinking here? I'm sort of gravitating towards Rugrats, I think.
Yeah. Now we've been saying it. I think that this is really like, you know, I think a textbook example of like how you want to do a new version of an old show. You know, like it's holding on to as much as it possibly can from the original. You know, from the look to the cast. To the, you know, the characters and stuff, like everything stays the same. It feels like a continuation of the show without interruption. And it's like, if you want more of the same, like this is, I think, is a perfect example of like how that can be done.
And it's also picking a show that has a timeless concept. And then bringing it, you know, those new modern aspects of it to it.
Yeah.
Which is part of the reboot. Like, you know, there's things that just don't sit well in today's society. So when you reboot it, you have to change so much.
Yeah.
This is babies.
Yeah.
There's always babies.
It's always babies. Yeah.
So, yeah. Okay. So the best remake/reboot goes to Rugrats.
Oh.
Okay. So now we're in the real meat of it now.
Yeah.
This is it. We've got thumbs up, thumbs down, shaky middle awards. So we're going to go from down to up. I hope you're ready for this. So we're going to start with, oh boy, the worst show.
Oh,
so this is,
no one wants to get.
Yeah, pretty straightforward. What left a bad taste in our mouth? So the worst show, the nominees are Hell of a Boss.
Ooh.
Blade Runner, Black Lotus, and Wildcats. Okay, so let's go through them. Hell of a Boss.
Yeah, this one's tough because it's like, I feel like I'm getting PTSD from having seen these shows. Hell of a Boss, nobody was likable in this show from what I remember.
And you know what? It's a difficult one because obviously it's got a bit of a cult following to it. So there's going to be a lot of people out there that do really love this show.
Yeah.
But we really hated it.
We really did not get on with this at all. Yeah, the story, like the way it was delivered, everyone was just, you know, it really rubbed you the wrong way. Like, it was overly like aggressive almost for no reason.
It was like a tick box for everything we call out a show for.
Yeah.
And it was like the humour was pretty vile.
Yeah.
I remember that being like, well, I know that's some people's humour, but it's just a bit grim, isn't it?
Mm.
And then the characters were just you couldn't leave with a favourite.
No, nobody was fun. And that made, you know, watching the show and trying to like get with the story just, you know, nigh impossible, because it was like, well, how am I supposed to care about this guy? Like that, yeah. Like everyone's a jerk. So why am I bothered?
Yeah. And it's like, and visually, I mean, it was like production values felt high for, you know, a YouTube show.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it looked a bit dated to me.
Yeah.
Like if it was made in the noughties, it would have been fresh, but yeah, it was very emo, wasn't it?
Yeah, it had a real aesthetic, and also like a look that was like, yeah, I don't know, it's almost, it did look like cheaper than it should have been.
Yeah.
Like it moved slick, but it looked bad at the same time.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, it was like a really beat down car that had like NOS on it or something. Right.
And just, yeah, and just then we've got Blade Runner Black Lotus.
Mm.
Oh, it's no secret that this was, you know, turd for us. We did not enjoy this at all.
No.
You know, you've got a concept there that has an existing audience and has like everything about it is familiar and you know what you're going into.
Yeah.
And it just didn't match to that. Whilst also being the most beige, overused storyline going.
Yeah.
Not really playing into much of the Blade Runner world.
No.
And then ending on, like, we didn't watch the first episode, but it ended on a really bizarre reveal cliffhanger where we didn't know what was going on at all.
Yeah.
Like, who was this guy that we're supposed to be so excited about?
It was so disappointing as well, because I mean, yeah, if you're a fan of Blade Runner, like, you know, this is something you want to, you've probably been wanting to see for a really long time. It's like, you know, have it get a series that looks like it could deliver on that front and be in that world. And like, they made it so, for saying like Blade Runner is like in this vibrant city, you know, like there's all sorts going on. We spent so much time like just like in like a shop, like with two people with their faces barely moving, like just having a really stagnant robotic conversation with each other.
And then, you know, you're watching a load of sword fighting.
Yeah, in like in the dark as well.
Yeah, it's just not at all what you wanted to get from this show.
No, like I don't know how it ever really like came about. Almost, it's one of those where it's like, how was that the end result? Like, really, it's it's not something I could ever recommend.
No, and then Wildcats.
Mm.
Now this was just classic 90s garbage.
Yeah,
which we've watched a lot of as well.
over
the years. But yeah, it just has. You know, even, I mean, these are based on comic book characters. Mm. But to be honest, I felt they were all tasteless, forgettable characters with a tasteless, forgettable story. I don't even remember the episode.
No.
I remember really disliking it.
Yeah, I just remember, like, beefy-looking guys. Some guy that can instantly do karate to a door or something. Something about his like top pocket on his t-shirt. It's like just the most insignificant like details, because it was like the rest of it wasn't worth paying attention to.
and that was the trouble. As I remember, I didn't pay attention to it. I really tried.
No,
I wandered.
It was it's so lame. It was just nothing fun about it.
It did have a really good theme tune.
Yeah, it does have a good theme tune, and I think that almost sets it up to four, really, because it never gets better than how much effort that singer puts into that final bit of Wildcat.
Okay, so we've got to pick. We've got to pick the ultimate thumbs down. Mm. I'm going to be honest. My pick right now is Hell of a Boss. And I'll tell you why. It is just because thinking about it just, it makes my skin crawl.
I know what you mean, actually.
This one is the one that leaves a bad taste. And I think it just, some of the humor was just a bit like, there's a reason it's on YouTube and not anywhere else, because nowhere else would pick it up.
Yeah. Yeah, I know what you mean. It's got like, it's got a feel to it now. Like, after I've seen it, that I'm like, ugh. Like, I feel a bit dirty when I think about it. Like, it's just like, don't really want to have to go near that again. Just trying to avoid it. And the other two is like Wildcats are just lame. And, like, you know, I can just avoid that. And Blade Runner was very disappointing for the franchise. But Hell of a Boss feels like something that can almost get out of control now. it's so bad, but like, why is it growing? So I can agree on that. I think Hell of a Boss.
There we go. Worst show.
Ooh.
Hell of a Boss.
They're not gonna like that.
1 in 100. Sorry, guys. Okay, moving on. The Shaky Middle Award. Okay, so the nominees are Ewoks, Star Wars Ewoks, Inside Job, and Dog City. Now, you'd be excused for not remembering some of these because they are Shaky Middles.
Absolutely Shaky
Middles. Which is like the ultimate compliment for a Shaky Middle is to not remember it.
Yeah.
So let's start. Ewoks. Now, I'll tell you why we picked Ewoks.
Because you might be like, why was this not in West Show?
Yeah. Or in Best Show. Let me tell you, because I gave Ewoks a thumbs up, whereas Jay gave it a thumbs down, which I can't, you know, it's the only time that's happened in 100 episodes. I think it might have happened on Patreon maybe at some point, but in 100 standard episodes, that's the only time that's happened, at least in the last 100. So Star Wars Ewoks, an interesting show.
Very, very interesting.
Perhaps overrated on my behalf.
that could be what happened there.
I remember the things I liked about it, because it was kind of one of those things where if I was a kid, I would have loved it.
Yeah.
They did, and I just remember being blown away by the fact that they sounded like what I thought Ewoks would sound like if they spoke English. But, you know, it's just fun japes in the jungle with the Ewoks.
Yeah.
What's they were like to love?
Weren't they like dropping poo on
each other
or something? just like a weird story to start off with.
I mean, it's a weird show for a start, wasn't it, really?
Yeah, it was strange. I think that was almost part of it. It was just almost like too out there for what it was. Like, it's a strange Star Wars spin-off thingy. I don't remember it being particularly fantastic.
But, no, I mean, it was very... It's strange that I liked it, to be honest, because it was so 80s.
Yeah, it was really 80s. Yeah. But I didn't walk away feeling like, oh, that was terrible. You know, it was just like...
Shaky Middle.
Yeah, it's a real Shaky Middle feeling.
Okay, and then we've got Inside Job. So this was essentially like... the poor man's Rick and Morty, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's like, concept wise, I think it's pretty cool. Like, it's cool to think that, you know, the like conspiracy theories all had like a grounding somewhere, and there was this, you know, there was this company that were kind of dealing with them all and like causing them or dealing, like, you know, managing them and stuff. But then the actual show was very like, you know, the humor was just felt off. The characters were like,
It was hit and miss, wasn't it?
It really was, yeah. So, like, as much as... I almost feel like this is one of those Shaky Middles where it's like, I wanted to like it way more than I actually did like it.
Yeah. And for me, it's kind of the other side. I really wasn't bothered. It was a little bit better than I thought it would be. So, but again, I think, you know, it's another one of them bland, like... adult animation. You just see it and you just think like if I'd seen a bit of it and didn't know what it was, I would just assumed I watched a bit of Rick and Morty.
Yeah, could have been.
Because the art style is just the same.
it looks, yeah, it does look very, very similar. And obviously, yeah, the sci-fi side of it doesn't help the situation either.
No.
It's very just like sci-fi to the nth degree. So, yeah, not, you know, I ended up watching all of that at the end. Like, you know, like I watched the whole series and it still felt very shaky middle.
even
after that, like, I still was really trying to like it more, and it didn't work out for
just
me.
Didn't latch on.
No.
Well played though for sitting through that. And then we've got Dog City.
Wow, this is truly one that I've wiped from my brain box.
It had so much going on.
Mm.
You know, he was a dog detective,
mm-hmm,
that was literally drawn by an animator,
yeah,
in the show. Like he has conversations with his you know, artist,
mm,
whilst also there being puppet moments.
Yeah,
I mean, it's Jim Henson's,
mm,
Dog City. Yet I'm struggling to remember anything else about the show and what happened in the episode at all.
I know, it's gone. Like it's, I almost think like the bits that I do remember, I'm just fabricating out of other Jim Henson shows. You know, like it's so forgettable for what it was.
Yeah,
having all those different things. And I remember like being a kid as well. Like if you ever saw puppets and stuff, like you almost instantly loved that show. You know, so for this to be like so bland,
it's
painful. Yeah.
It's crazy that you can't remember it. Like, and to, you know, we didn't watch it that long ago.
No.
So,
but it's still gone. This should be, you know, everyone should know Dog City. You know, it's a Jim Henson show. This should be one of those things.
It has so much going on,
mm,
yet so little that stays. Okay, so let's pick.
Mm.
To be honest, I think as far as shaky middle goes,
mm,
Dog City, it's just so unmemorable.
Yeah.
It's the ultimate shaky middle, surely.
Yeah, it's like a forgotten show, you know, like this is, people are going to dig this up like a thousand years from now and be like, was this a Jim Henson hit? Like,
no one will
know anything about it because
they'll forget the news story about it the next day.
Yeah, because it's just, it wipes itself from the memory. It's like a self-cleaning show.
Yeah.
It's just, but the thing is, like, when I think about it, I know there's parts that, like, that should have been really good.
yeah.
But it wasn't.
And so what, I think it's got to be the Shaky Middle Award.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well played.
Well played, Dog City. The Shaky Middle Award goes to Dog City.
Mm.
Okay, now, this is the big one.
Oh, yeah.
So
this is the one you've all been waiting for.
Yeah, we've got Best Show.
Mm-hmm.
Best Thumbs Up, Best Show Award in the last 100 episodes. What is the best show we've watched? And the nominees are,
mm-hmm,
The Cuphead Show.
Mm.
Maya and the Three.
Yes.
And David the Gnome.
Ooh.
Oh. Mm. So this is an interesting one. Let's start with the Cuphead Show.
Mm.
Obviously, we've already talked about the stellar animation
and
art style. But it also captured sort of everything, especially for me, everything I love about cartoons.
Mm. Yeah.
And I think it really, like I mentioned it earlier, but, you know, the whole idea of what a classic cartoon was.
Yeah.
To me, that's what cartoons are.
Mm.
And this show has it all. You know, it's got the ridiculous characters. You know, the adventures are like, even though they're ridiculous, they feel well thought out as well.
Mm.
Which there comes a point where, you know, stuff's so ludicrous that it still works, but you just like, that was clearly just a really stupid thing.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, there's the whole episode with the vegetables.
Yeah.
Stealing all the water from, you know, Elder Kettle's tomato plant.
Yeah.
And it's just things like that. They're just old school. And I really did love this show.
Mm. Yeah, it really feels like you know, they've gone to great lengths to make sure that this feels like a show from another era, and they're really holding on to all those elements that made them important, that made them memorable, and a lot of stuff that you don't get in shows anymore, you know, like the body movements and stuff, like the way characters like use those cartoon physics and stuff, and just the crazy situations, and like how things go from like 0 to 10 and then like back to normality again, and like it can feel kind of scary at times, but then yeah. also like by the end it's like, oh, everything's kind of okay again now, you know.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's so fun to watch, isn't it? Like, you can sit down and watch an episode, and like it does everything you want it to, all the way through, consistent. So
yeah. And then we've got Maya and the Three, which, as we said before, you know, we obviously gave it the award for the best art, and this is what a new show should be in many ways. But the story is also like really, it's cinematic almost, isn't it?
Yeah. It's an epic tale, isn't it, overall?
Yeah.
Like there's so many characters and elements in there, and the stakes are really high. And you've got all this history in there as well, like so much of it based on like traditions and stuff that you don't see enough of, you know, like we don't get enough of that side of things. And this is really just like putting it all into a show that I think anyone would be impressed by to a degree, you know, like whether you you want things to look nice, or, you know, you want to be engaged in a series, like it's got everything that makes a good show. And it was really fun. It was really funny as well. Like it was,
yeah.
Humor was cool as well. So yeah, there's so many like memorable looking characters and stuff. And I just remember like it just being so dynamic on screen. Like it was such a treat to watch.
Which, it just felt it felt groundbreaking in so many ways, didn't it? And like even down to just minor characters and things like that. Just everything was real. Like everything felt real. And even though it was so cartoony as well, it was like, we're getting to a point now where I feel like they're starting to figure out what to do with, you know, CG animation and things that they have done for a while, but, you know, it kind of was like, now we've got CG, let's try and make everything looked the same, you know, which is always the case for a bit. We talked about it in Adult Talking, but, you know, like you've got like the Disney 3D and the Pixar 3 and everything looked a bit like that. But now they're doing it in like really unique styles.
Yeah.
And this is like such a great example of like what you can do with it.
Yeah. This is the stylized 3D that you know, that we're really going to sort of step into the future with, I think. Yeah.
And it helps for, you know, there's a lot of people that kind of, you know, you'll miss the 2D art and stuff, but this kind of brings it back in a way, doesn't it?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Without doing so.
Hmm. Yeah, this is something that we're going to look forward to. Like, in the future, people are going to go back and be like, "Yeah, Maya and the Three." Like, that's part of where it begun, sort of thing.
And then we've got David the Gnome, which we compliment on a weekly basis.
Yeah, what more needs to be said about?
We've already talked about the incredible, you know, education that is David the Gnome, but it has like everything it has is sort of homely and delightful.
And what, you know, what just, a heartfelt show this
yeah.
is.
Yeah. And, you know, you're learning about animals, you're learning about gnomes, and just things like, and it's funny and just like him, you know, when he's in the bath.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
You just go and he's in the bath for no real reason. You're just learning about David all the time, and he's such a nice, the characters are all so nice, aren't they?
Yeah, you really go on a journey with David in such a short space of time, and you feel like you are invited into their home, and you've sat down with him, you know, in front of the fire, and you've had dinner with him. it's an experience almost, isn't it?
Like, and that is it, isn't it? It is actually, like, we joke all the time, but it did feel like an experience. And I think we were so shocked. Like, we were expecting rubbish, weren't we?
Yeah.
To be honest. And we were so shocked about not just that it wasn't rubbish, but how good it was.
Yeah.
And how much you got from it. What an amazing show this is.
in a way that I just couldn't have anticipated that, like what type of show it was. Because I don't know another show that's like, that does all those things in the way that, that David the Gnome did it.
So now we've got a pick. What is the best show? It's genuinely difficult because they're all really, really good.
They are all really good shows.
But one of them is an experience.
Only one of them is mentioned every single week.
Yeah, and you can't undo that love.
No.
I think it has to be David the Gnome.
It really does. It's true. It has to be David the Gnome. Yeah.
So the best show in the last 100 episodes, the best show award goes to David the Gnome.
Finally, the prophecy is complete.
The recognition it deserves. You were probably not expecting that listening. But that's a genuine result, and now it belongs in the Diamond Leagues, you know, the top tiers. So now, I like just to remind you, like the last best show was Ren and Stimpy.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. So what a pair of, you couldn't have two more different cartoons, could you?
Very different.
So there you go. Right. Well, there you go. That's all of them. And now we're just going to give you our staff picks. So obviously everything mentioned today, well, most things mentioned today are worthy of some sort of, you know, praise or award, particularly those best shows. All of them are fantastic.
Yeah.
But what's your like personal pick that you just want to give it a bit of recognition?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a few shows that we've watched that it's like I went away and I finished watching them, you know, because it was like I really liked what we experienced. And I wanted a bit more. I wanted a taste of, you know, to see whether they carried it on. And I think that there's definitely a few that particularly were in line with my own taste and stuff. Like we know that I don't always like certain things. Some of them are strange, like British Voices, which you'd think I'd be fine with because I live in Britain. But no, that's a gripe for some reason. I don't know why. So it's nice sometimes when everything manages to like tick all your boxes for no reason whatsoever. And there's a few shows that I'm finding tough to kind of weigh up. But I do want to say that one show that did surprise me, I wasn't expecting to like it as much as I did, was Super Crooks.
Oh, yeah.
Super Crooks was one that, especially after me being personally fatigued by superheroes in general, because from the films to being inundated with comics over the years and stuff, I thought nah, that's not really anything. But Super Crooks, as one particular tweeter once said, it does have that funky feel, you know.
Yeah.
And I almost wanted to give it a special mention on best theme song, because the theme song for Super Crooks is pretty fantastic. Just the opening is just...
We didn't see that, did we?
No, we didn't. We didn't get to see it. It wasn't in episode one, but when you sit down for that second episode and all of those afterwards, that is really fun. And this is, it's a really fun show. Like it's... You know, I guess we're in that kind of era where it's like superheroes don't do the normal things you kind of expect them to. This is one of those where they've taken it in a different way. And obviously it's based on books by someone like Mark Millar, who is, obviously pretty renowned in the comic book world. So this is a kind of cool, like, East meets West kind of thing, with it being an anime show and having that. And it's just a really fun show that I think should get a mention. Because I don't think enough people were really making a fuss about it either online. So
no,
Okay,
yeah. Well, my special mention is tough to pick, isn't it? We've got literally 100 shows.
there's so many,
do you know what? Like, it was quite hard to find ones that were like thumbs downs.
Mm.
Like we obviously did get some that we really didn't like, but overall, you look through me like, actually, you know, there's a lot of middly or lower middle or upper middle.
Mm.
But pure thumbs down was very difficult. But we've got a lot of thumbs up stuff and a lot of stuff we really liked.
Yeah.
One for me that I don't think we necessarily gave it a great review, but I went back to it and really did enjoy it in the end, was Centaur World.
Yeah, right.
And I think because it was sort of, it was a weird thing, like, and it had a strange start, but it was, you know, it's a music, and it's a proper musical as well. Like, it's not like just, you know, what you'd expect from a cartoon musical. It's kind of almost like Broadway West End quality.
Mm.
But it had a really heartfelt story in the end, and kind of the second season is out now. I've not started watching it because classic me. but you know, the first series was really good, and I do want to watch it. It just took me by surprise, and I always think it's nice when you go back to them when you didn't necessarily give it a great start.
Yeah.
And then to be bowled over by it in the end. So yeah, I would say, you know, give it a chance.
Yeah. That's definitely a different one, isn't it? Centaur World.
Yeah.
And that just shows as well, like, you know, sometimes shows are off to a bad start. Like they don't always get it right first time, but it is worth sticking with them, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Okay, well, there you go. The Jammy Awards.
Wow. 200 down.
Can 200 you, down.
Can you believe it?
So get ready for another 100, baby.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Well, thank you so much for joining us. I hope you enjoyed the Jammy Awards. As always, if you'd like to get in touch with us, you can do so on the 3 thumbs down awards of the internet: Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
At Toon Jam Pod. We also, if you want to visit like one of the many hundreds that we've done, aka 200, they're on YouTube. Head over there at Toon Jam Pod again, or just Toon Jam Pod. You'll find us on there. We also have a Patreon with bonus episodes. We're currently going through space, so that's fun. That's a fun time. And then, of course, we have our merchandise store. We can get loads of Toon Jam goodies, and that's bit.ly/ToonJamShop. But yeah, get in touch if you have any recommendations as well. Obviously, we've watched loads now, so we might have already seen it. But, you know, if not, we're really happy to visit a new show that we've maybe not thought of yet. So just get in touch with us, and it's always nice to say hi to you guys. So, yes, thank you again for joining us. And until next time, you give yourself a Jammy Award, baby.
Hey, everyone. Thank you for listening. If you want to help the show keep going, you can be extra jammy by heading over to our Patreon page at patreon.com/ToonJamPod. Here you can get a shout out on the show or unlock bonus episodes. Ratings and reviews anywhere you listen to the podcast also really help us out. So thank you, and stay jammy.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.